No one really likes to be criticized by the boss, but what's the best way to respond to criticism in the workplace? And how can we make the most out of negative feedback, and how can we not make matters worse? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, June 30th. We were interested in a recent piece in the Wall Street Journal on how to take criticism in the workplace. And we'll talk with one of the experts who was interviewed for that piece about responding to negative feedback, the do's and the don'ts. And we will also get his advice on how to best give criticism in the workplace. What are your questions? What are your good or bad examples? How do you respond to criticism from the boss? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Garrett Miller, President and CEO of Cotria, a productivity training company. He's also author of the book Hire on a Whim, the four qualities that make for great employees. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for being with us. So, boy, does anybody like getting negative feedback from the boss?
Well, listen, we don't like getting negative feedback from anybody. It always seems to be a personal affront because It is attacking some sort of who we are, and our natural inclination is to defend ourselves, right?
Right.
And some of us, and you've had the experience where you go to even give a gentle critique, and before you're done, the person's already giving you a complete rebuttal on why you're wrong and they're right.
Yeah. Well, is there a better way to give negative feedback to an employee if one is the boss that might, soften the blow?
Well, in my years as a manager in a Fortune 100 company, I had a lot of those experiences, and I was a sales manager, so we had those interactions all the time. Every sales call was an opportunity to improve. And it's interesting. I had individuals who we would come out of a sales call, and they would brace for the critique and feel like they need to defend everything. But it's interesting, Joy. I had other individuals that we would get out of a sales call, and they'd look at me and they'd go, "Oh my word, Garrett, what could I have done better?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wow, isn't that interesting? You have one group of people who is bracing for negative feedback and rebuffing it, and the other is saying, "Come on, give me something. I want to do better." So I think the first thing you need to do as a manager is, or just as anybody, is understand what is the makeup of that person. If the individual contains that quality of humility, and Joy, I define humility as that ability, and listen to this, and the willingness to learn. So I often ask people, have you ever tried to teach somebody who knows everything, Joy?
All the time.
and you see that coming, you think, oh man, I do not want to, confront so-and-so about this thing because it's just going to be a fist fight. But there are people who possess that quality of humility who are open to it. So the first thing you need to do is assess that. And if you have that person who's open and humble, and then it's a much easier approach. And we need to always approach critique as, hey, listen, this is not a big deal. Let's both grow together. I find that if I lead with my weaknesses or an experiential story about where I struggled, then it's easier for that person to go, okay, I don't have that big finger wagging in my face. You understand the picture I'm trying to...
Yes, yes. So as a manager, to say, I know this is, it's really tough. I had this situation happen to me too early in my career. The way I, improved the situation was XYZ.
I love that. Yeah. And listen, I don't know if you've had any experience with raising children, but it's the same thing, right? When you wag your finger at your kids and you demand something, it tends to produce a complete shutdown. And I think that's what managers need to understand, is that if we approach it incorrectly, then our critique or our criticism doesn't get heard, because the person immediately goes on a defensive and they stop listening. So if we both want to walk out of this experience more enriched, in other words, that I've done a good job of delivering that critique, and here's the key, is as the employee or as the recipient of the critique, this is a gift. Whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, to get critiques is a gift, because if I listen to this and if they are correct, and I improve in this area, guess who wins?
Yeah, well, we all do.
Right. And that's the beauty of this interaction, is, and that's how we approach it and say, hey, listen, you know, Garrett, I have a few things I want to share with you that I think if you could really, you know, improve in these areas, you'd have a successful career. And here's why I want to do it, because if you do it, I win. If you do it, you win. So let's grow together. And when we come alongside of somebody like that, they're so much more likely to receive it.
Yeah. What about, though, the employee who doesn't have that humility, perhaps, or the employee who has heard the first critique on, here's how we can improve, you know, this skill or this work behavior, and we can both win, but continues to not improve or continues to make that same mistake over and over, then how do you approach it?
Boy, that's a great question. So there's two parts there. The first one is, what about the employee who doesn't have humility? And one of the things that I try to drive home in the book, Hire on a Whim, so WHIM is an acronym, and it's work ethic, humility, integrity, and maturity. In my opinion, you have to hire those four qualities. In other words, the person you're hiring needs to have those qualities already.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't bump into this, right? So that when it comes time to the critique, they're more likely to receive it. Because you get into that position where it's the proverbial man who doesn't ask for directions, right? They don't want to learn. They don't want to listen. And somebody who doesn't want to learn or listen or ask for directions in the workplace environment is a disaster, because they're going to wind up lost and it's going to affect everybody else on the team. So the first thing you try to do is hire for it. Now, you asked another great question. What happens if you have that individual who is in the company already? Maybe they've transferred onto your team. You didn't have an opportunity to hire them, and they don't have, or they're weak in this area. And now you're delivering the same critique for the second time. That's a very difficult situation. So the first thing is, you want to make sure they heard you the first time. So listen, Garrett, I want to talk about something that I'm looking at my notes here. And the first time we met in our, you know, quarterly review, we talked about your need to submit your weekly report on time. And I'm looking through this, and I've noticed that you're still struggling in that area. Before we go to the why questions, like, why are you late? Why are you not listening to me? Why are you doing this? Why are you such a bad employee? You know, for the first question is, Garrett, what can I do to help you get your reports on time? Is there anything I can do to help? Because that way they're not on the defensive, and they're going to open up into some of those areas that they may be struggling with. And the second thing I want to do is I want to convince them, hey, listen, Garrett, do you understand the importance of getting your weekly reports in on time, and why that'll be a good reflection on how great of an employee you are? You see, when we enter those into that difficult discussion by leading with a positive, or with what I call what questions, we're bound to drop some barriers and have a more productive conversation.
We are talking about how to give and take criticism in the workplace with Garrett Miller, who is a productivity training consultant and the author of Hire on a Whim, The Four Qualities That Make for Great Employees. And we welcome your questions for him. We welcome any examples you might have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. How do you respond to a negative critique at work? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about giving and taking criticism in the workplace. How do you react if the boss has a negative critique of your work? Do you learn from it and improve? Do you get angry? Do you just stomp out of the room? Do you blame others for the problem? Or maybe do you start crying? We'll talk about why you don't want to react that way and how you should react, and welcome your questions and your situations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is a productivity consultant. He was interviewed for a recent piece in the Wall Street Journal on how to respond to negative feedback in the workplace. He's sharing with us his advice, and he will answer your questions. He is Garrett Miller, president and CEO of the Cotria Productivity Training Company. He's also author of Hire on a Whim, The Four Qualities That Make for Great Employees. Well, let's talk a little bit about this piece, Garrett, that you were interviewed in. It was titled How to Take Criticism Well, but it started with the wrong ways to respond to negative feedback in the workplace. And the don'ts were don't get angry. Why not?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When we get angry, and we kind of touched on it, is that we tend to, there's a couple things. First, we shut down. And then we put the giver or our boss on defense. So when two people put up their fists in a discussion, nothing gets done, and there's only going to be carnage. And as the employee, most of the times, guess who's going to lose?
Yeah, that's you're the one who's probably going to lose.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's very difficult to understand, especially when we feel we're being critiqued incorrectly, when we're being unjustly accused even of something. And I've been there. I've had several instances where, I mean, you feel this is coming out of left field, and the person is talking, and you're screaming in your head. I don't know if you've ever been there, Joy. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, you're like, I can't even believe I'm here. But what we're missing, if we're not careful, is that there may be a grain of truth. There may be a seed that's worth acknowledging, that's valuable to us as the employee. And what I don't want to lose in this interaction is that nugget of gold that could be a real win for us as employees. So when we get into that anger mode, we're losing our ability to think and to process. And we're going to put our boss on their heels, and it's probably not going to be a good interaction.
And even if you think the supervisor or the boss is unfairly criticizing you, let's say, you know, mm-hmm. hey, Garrett, you're always late with your reports when you're not, mm-hmm. Or, you know, something, you know, this project failed because you didn't do X. I mean, you might be angry because that's not true, but what do you do instead?
Yeah, that's excellent. And the first thing is, well, I'm going to go on the defensive and say always, you know, you never use always and never. And you try to pick their argument apart. But instead, you say, you know, I understand, and there may be a perception that my reports are always late. But in fact, the last three or four have been on time, and it's never an excuse that one comes in late. So I think to to receive the body blow is to maybe acknowledge that, yes, the last one was late. And you know what? There's no excuse, Garrett. You've asked me to get those reports in on time, and I did not get it on time last reported. And I'm going to do an excellent job of mending that. Or you know what? I know you wanted a 5% increase on sales. I was only able to achieve 3%. And I know that's below your expectations, and you deserve better. And frankly, so do I. So the first thing is, there may be some truth that we can receive, and we want to acknowledge that. Because when somebody delivers a critique, they're feeling that they've done a good job of analyzing us, and they're being a good boss, and they've done all the things right. When I tell them they're wrong, all of a sudden, I'm critiquing them, and they're going to get on defensive. So receive what you can, and then work from there. That's your beachhead. Receive whatever you can from the critique. That's your beachhead. And then start to repair and talk about it. Listen, you know what, Garrett? I would love to have your thoughts on maybe how I can do a better job in sales next year or get my reports in on time. What things have you done, or what things have you seen people in my situation do better so that they can overcome this?
Well,
believe me, the boss thinks they're a genius.
We have some calls and some emails that I want to get to before our news break.
Oh, great.
Charles emails, several years back, I worked for a call center where my supervisor was a 26-year-old woman who was absolutely inept. She never should have been in the position of supervisor. She also had a disdain for older workers and did her best to find things wrong with my work, to the point where I was forced to quit. How does one deal with a supervisor who is inept and doesn't have a clue as to how to manage people?
Boy, Charles hits on a great point. And as much as I want to hire on a whim, Joy, we also, as the employee, need to be making sure our employers have whim, because there's a great example of a manager who may have lacked humility and work ethic and integrity and maturity. And Charles actually did the right thing. And what did he do?
He quit.
He removes himself from that situation. And here's what companies need to realize. When bad managers are there, you lose good workers like Charles. What companies don't realize is the best people leave first. Because Charles says, hey, listen, I have this skill set, and I'm going to go to some place where I'm appreciated. But let's say you don't have that flexibility and you can't just quit a job and go find another one, because that is a reality. It is very difficult to deal with somebody who lacks those win qualities and lacks that humility, and you're taking criticism from somebody who clearly couldn't probably do their own. The best thing to do is just try and work within their wheelhouse. They're going to want to hear their right, and people like myself, and listen, at times I did not lack humility, so the last thing I wanted to do was give them any victory at all. But the real thing to do is just take it, try to learn from it if you can, and also look to find safe havens. In other words, other people in the workplace. Not that you can gossip, not that you can chew your boss up, but that you can find ways that together you can receive these body blows, if you will, and work in that environment. So either remove yourself or find safe places that you can help other people and learn from others. Hey, listen, you've been here for 5 years. You've been working for this person. How do you deal with the ineptness? And you're going to find somebody who's got greater insights than you do. So go to experienced people.
And while, Charles is, I'm sure, saying the truth from his perspective here that his boss was inept, what if maybe your boss isn't inept, but they are finding things wrong with the work that you do? I'm just thinking that maybe Charles was making some mistakes, and that could also be the case.
It's an excellent point, Joy, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Because when we look at the work ethic, humility, integrity, and maturity that we each need to have, we need to be honest. And we need to make that assessment, because if we lack humility, a natural humility, then we are going to find ourselves over and over and over in situations where we are being critiqued and unable to receive it. And we will be the loser every time, not the loser in the argument, but the loser in our ability to grow. And folks who have humility see these opportunities as gifts. And well, thank you for sharing that with me. And you know what? Nobody's ever had the courage to share that with me before. And I see that you actually care enough to share. Because there is an aspect, Joy, where I have people who lack humility. They have a reputation for it. And guess what? Nobody shares critiques. And they remain stagnant. They don't grow. They're not promoted. And they just remain that person that nobody wants to speak with because they go, oh, no, I'm not. Don't make me talk to that person. Oh, because they're a nightmare. That's never the person you want to be. You want to be the person, oh, you know, you could approach Garrett. Yeah, you know what? That's not going to be an easy conversation, but he will hear it.
We have to jump in because we're going to continue the conversation after the news. How should we deliver criticism to an employee, and how should we receive it? How do you respond to negative feedback at work? If you're a manager, how do you give it? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about how to best give and receive criticism in the workplace. And we are welcoming your questions and your examples. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So how do you respond to criticism of your workplace skills or behaviors? Do you try to learn from it and improve, or do you get mad or sad? Do you stomp out of the room? Do you start crying? We are talking about why that's the wrong way to react and what the right way is. And again, welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest. Our guest is Garrett Miller, President and CEO of Cotria, a productivity training company. He is also the author of Hire on a Whim, The 4 Qualities That Make for Great Employees. And he was interviewed recently for a piece that was in the Wall Street Journal on how to take criticism in the workplace, the do's and don'ts of that. And let's take another call who's been waiting, Amy in Appleton. Hi, Amy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to make a point about a review that I had and how I was absolutely helpless in dealing with it. Every year when I would get my review, I was the assistant manager of the largest department in the company. My boss would say, you know, give me a B in everything. And I loved my job. I did a good job. And finally, I just had to ask. And I said, why don't I get an A in anything? I do everything else that anybody else does around here. And she said, well, you're never going to get one. Then you'd be me.
Well, that's probably the wrong way to put that, Garrett.
Well, it didn't incentivize me. Let's put it that way.
Wow. You know, so interesting enough, it was not a critique on you at all. It was just a revelation of her incompetence and poor management style. Wow, that's amazing. How did you respond to that?
I said okay, and if I hadn't loved my job so much, I probably would have left. But
yeah,
I stayed in a couple of years, but I never got any encouragement. She just was afraid I was going to take her job.
Wow.
Well, that's certainly a reflection on you, and a poor reflection on her.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. So that's. That's the wrong way to give feedback at work and in a review. Certainly doesn't motivate an employee. But our caller did not get angry and stomp out of the room. Did not start crying. Did not blame others and or deny. I mean, those are all the ways that this article was saying. Are the wrong ways to respond to negative feedback. I mean. You would agree with that, Garrett, that you don't want to deny there's a problem. You don't want to cry over the criticism. We talked about not getting angry. And certainly blaming others is not a good reflection on you either.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah, those are all excellent points about receiving critique. Is if we get emotional, certain people will see that as a weakness, right? You know, I like employing humans in my business, so I don't mind human reaction. But you also don't want to look unprofessional, and I think that's what people are nervous about, so I agree with that. And certainly being that defensive, stomping out, what it does is I want you to think about this whole interaction as a game of pool. As you know, the game of pool is not just hitting one ball into the pocket, but you want your cue ball after it strikes the ball to roll so that you can make your next move. So when these type of situations happen, you think, how can I best set myself up so that we can continue this conversation? So I have a very difficult critique. Thank you for sharing that with me. You know, I certainly see that there are things that I can be working on, and I hope you can help me. And now when I leave the room, I can begin to process and think about my next interaction. If I'm emotional or I shut the door by screaming or yelling or calling somebody a name that I regret, that'll never get forgotten. You know, that goes right into my file. Believe it or not, you know, when that door shuts, everything I say is probably going to be written into a file or go into some record. So I want to keep as clean a slate as I can so I can set myself up for the next shot.
Richard writes on Facebook, negative feedback or constructive criticism? I think we used both terms in the Facebook post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are two completely different things in reality. I want to talk about the semantics here. Is it? Are we giving criticism? Are we giving critiques? Are we giving negative feedback? Are we giving positive feedback? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it could be a bit of semantics, but there are some people who will take the same feedback, the same critique. Some will take it to heart and see it as negative. Others will take the feedback and see it as a positive. And that's, and again, I think we come back to that humility. Now, it does matter what's intended. Where somebody says, "Hey, Garrett, I think you have a terrible haircut." Well, man, that was negative, but maybe it's positive in that, boy, If my customers are seeing, if the first thing and the last thing my customers are remembering is my haircut, then maybe that was a positive critique, if that makes sense. So I think a lot depends on the recipient, on whether they take it as negative. There are some people joining your life no matter what feedback you give them. Even if it's well thought out feedback, how do they handle it? They take it as a crushing blow, a negative feedback. And you think, no, that's not the way it was intended. My heart is for your best interests.
Yeah. Well, you know, Richard goes on in his post to say, the lines are being blurred by the dysfunctional expectation in today's society that people should never have to feel bad about themselves. I guess what he's getting at is that maybe, you know, we tiptoe around giving a critique that an employee may take as negative because, and or if we're an employee who gets some a review that is less than an A+, you know, that we're upset by that because, yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Is there sort of this expectation that that we get, everybody has to be happy and people should never have to feel bad about themselves?
Well, I love that Richard swerved into this because, listen, as a soccer coach, we go have an undefeated season and everybody gets the same trophy. Everybody's MVP because nobody can be MVP because that might make somebody feel bad. Mm-hmm. You have some offices that have done away with Employee of the Month because it made people feel bad.
Yeah.
Instead of us celebrating excellence, we, in some organizations, are dumbing things down. So Richard brings up an interesting point. In my opinion, a great manager is always giving feedback. so that when we have that sit down, that mid-year review, it's never a surprise. If it is a surprise that you're unhappy with my performance, and I'm learning this for the first time at my mid-year review, you have not done your job as a manager. What we need to do is always be giving feedback so that it's good and bad, and it's never a dumping of harsh feedback. I think if we don't offer feedback and we don't risk making people feel bad, then they won't grow. And I think what the manager needs to do is win their employees' hearts. And it begins with, listen, and it goes back to what I first said in the first segment, Joy, is that, hey, guys, I didn't get here by always doing it right. In fact, I made every mistake you could in my profession, and some of them I made twice. And let me share with you a couple of the blunders I had. But my point is that, fortunately, I had a manager that came alongside me and gently helped me along in my professional career. And that's what I long to do for you. So, and this is part of the onboarding process. You know what you're going to hear from me? You're going to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we're going to grow together.
Yeah, that's good. In fact, a caller was just getting set up when you brought up the feedback being something that should be happening every day, every week of the year, not just at annual review time, because that was his concern. And he says he would tell his supervisors, don't just tell me once a year how I'm doing. Tell me how I'm doing all year long.
Excellent. And one of the ways that we can also set ourselves up as managers to be successful is that when I had my mid and my end of the year reviews with my reps, you know, we'd go through the areas that they can improve on, and then I'd say, now listen, I know I'm not a great manager, but I want to be. What areas can you help me see? Because I can't see them. The reason I keep doing them is because I don't see them. And if you want a better manager, and I know you do, and I want to be a better manager, and I know I want to be one, can you help me crest those areas that I can't see? And I said, and believe it or not, this is all selfish. Because if I'm a better manager, then I have a better sales team. And guess what? I make more money. So I rely on your feedback. And I think some managers are too insecure to do that, Joy. They don't want to hear any of the bad. But listen, I see it as selfish. The better manager I am, the more money I make, the more success I have, and the more success my team has.
Yeah, lots more to talk about in very little time. One other tip you have is to never share a critique feedback via email. How come?
Well, Joy, email, and listen, one of the things I do as a productivity expert is I teach people how to communicate in organizations via email. One of the areas that comes up over and over again is, what do we communicate over email? I don't know if people realize, but you lose 93% of our ability to communicate over email, because 38% is done by the tone of my voice, 55% is done by my body language. And we wonder why we communicate so poorly over email. And this is one of the reasons why. So when you get that critique over email, stop. Don't reply. Walk away from the computer and settle down. Here's my advice. Read it. Process it. Write your response on a Word document, not on email, because there are times where people have written the response not meaning to send it. But guess what?
They do.
By mistake, they hit send. Oh, yeah.
Or hit reply all. Wouldn't that be good?
That's a great point. So as a manager, don't deliver harsh critique over email. Let's say, hey, listen, I know we'll be in the same town on January 3rd. Can we get together for a cup of coffee? Let's do it face-to-face, or let's pick up the phone. But don't do it over email, because the recipient is sitting there wide-eyed going, are they yelling at me? Are they disappointed in me? You know, is my job on the line? I don't hear any of that in the tone of my email. In fact, what I do read is I read tone into it. And what I tell my classes and my emailing classes is that whatever emotion you're trying to deliver, multiply it by 10, that's how it's received.
Yeah. Well, I guess a final question. As we go to work today, Maybe a tip for a manager and a tip for an employee on how to make feedback a win-win.
Yeah, you want to catch your manager off guard and blow him away. Is why don't you ask for feedback? Hey, listen, I'm really struggling in this area. Can you give me one tip on how I can do it better? Because I love the way you do it. When we make our managers look like geniuses, they love that. Now, everybody loves to be asked for their advice. So let's preempt it. And let's look for an area to improve this week. And as a manager, you always want to catch somebody doing something right. Right? Let's not our interactions always be negative. But let's try to catch somebody doing something right. And that opens them up often to saying, well, you know what else I'm struggling with? So it's amazing what happens when we ask for impromptu feedback and when we catch somebody doing something right and we ask, hey, is there anything that I can help you with this week? Because really, that's my job. My job is not to wag my finger in your face. My job is to help you. So, hey, listen, Joy, I love the way that you introduce your guests each time. It really makes them feel special. Listen, as we're talking, is there anything I can help you with this week in your tasks? If the answer is no, then great. Keep doing what you're doing. But it may open up an opportunity for on Thursday, where Joy says to me, hey, you know what? I am actually struggling with something. I'm wondering if you can give me your thoughts on it. What a different conversation that is, isn't it?
This was a great conversation, Garrett Miller. I wish we had more time, and I hope that you will come back sometime.
I would love to, and you did a phenomenal job. I love speaking with your audience.
Thanks very much for being with us. Garrett Miller, President and CEO of Cotria, a productivity training company. Hey, and great job, Robin Cherry and Christy Taylor, for producing and directing this program. Our wake-up call is coming up next. This is the Ideas Network.